This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Tony Barnhart. He joins us on the Bet DSI line. That's the Bet DSI guest line. All of our guests are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Tony Barnhart, welcome into the show. Really delighted to have you here. We want to talk some SEC football. Now, I understand that you are debating this weekend whether you are going to stay at home and watch lots of SEC games or go to the Alabama A&M game. Is that true?
That's the debate right now. I found out over the last few years that I love going to games. I love being a part of the stadium. But you know what? I see a lot more football, and I learn a lot more if I'll just camp out here with my flat screens. And so I'm going to have this debate almost every week. And this week I'm going to wait and see.
Oh, Tony, I don't know. Saban right now is 12-0 against his former assistants. Could this be the game that turns the tide for the head of the tide?
I don't think so, Carla, because I watched Alabama from the very beginning. This may be, and I wrote this, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, this may be the best offense Nick Saban's ever had.
Yep.
At any level, at any school, to have this many weapons and a dynamic quarterback to distribute the ball. By the way, they're pretty good on defense, too. It just asked Ole Miss. So I don't think this is going to be that week.
We're talking to Tony Barnhart, a writer and broadcaster for the SEC Network. Let's talk about Alabama for a minute. I thought Jalen Hurts was going to be redshirted, yet he's gotten on the field. What's the story there? Are you surprised he got on the field this week?
No, because what happened was is he played in the first game, and after the first game, when Alabama played Louisville, it was abundantly clear to everyone that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be the starting quarterback.
Yep.
So Jalen had a decision to make, and I think basically they sat down and, Jalen, you got a decision to make. You can transfer, you can play in four games, or you can go all in. But you got to make up your mind. And I think Jalen decided to go all in and try to get another national championship ring, hang around with his teammates. I think that's exactly what the decision was.
So he's content, and this is going to be okay in Alabama's quarterback room.
Yeah, because if you've met Jalen, he is all about the team. He always has been. Son of a coach.
Yep.
And nobody would have blamed him if he just said, you know what? It's obvious that I'm not going to be the starter. I'm not going to play as much. I'm going to go. But he didn't choose that option. And by playing in the second game, which was a cupcake for Alabama, mm-hmm. he made it clear that he wasn't going to redshirt either. Because if you were going to redshirt, you would have selectively picked the four games that you were going to play mm-hmm. in. So mm-hmm. I think those two guys get along really well and they pull for each other. And when you watch the games, you can see that.
Well, another team, Clemson, having quarterback situation, you know, some due to injuries, some due to, you know, trying out between Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant. How do you see that quarterback room playing out?
Well, I mean, Kelly Bryant won an ACC championship and got Clemson to the playoffs last year. He got dinged up a little bit, then Trevor Lawrence came in. Lawrence has got an incredible arm. He's from Cartersville, Georgia, which is about 45 minutes north of where I'm sitting right now in Atlanta. Just an incredible, incredible talent. But he doesn't have the mobility of a Kelly Bryant, and if you get in a game where the quarterback's got to run, that can become an issue. Quite honestly, as I sit there and look at the ACC, with Florida State struggling so much, I don't know that there's anybody who's going to really give mm-hmm. them a hard challenge in that conference.
Yeah, it may not matter which one of them starts, right? I mean, that team is stocked.
Oh, they are. They got four pros playing on the defensive line.
Yep.
I was going to say, do you think they're the best defense?
I think them and Auburn, okay? Auburn is unbelievable. Now, they gave up some yards to LSU on Saturday, but there's no question that Clemson and Auburn are the best two defensive lines in the country.
All right, we're talking to Tony Barnhart of the SEC Network. So let's talk about LSU. I mean, this far into the season, that's one of the most impressive stories with some of the most impressive wins, are they not?
Absolutely. They've got the best resume of anybody so far, two top 10 wins. To go into Auburn, where I think Auburn had won 18 straight, something like that, hadn't lost in over 2 years at home, and to go into that environment, and win the game. And I got to give Ed Orgeron a lot of credit. You know, people kept talking about him being on the hot seat, but he stuck to his guns. He needed a quarterback, went out and found one from Ohio State. He needed a kicker, went to a tiny Assumption College and found that guy who kicked the winning field goal. I think Ed Orgeron should be getting a lot more credit than he's getting right now.
We're talking with Tony Barnhart here. We're so glad you're in with us. You mentioned Ohio State. Clearly, after this past weekend, they're looking like the only elite team in the Big Ten. Dwayne Haskins is showing us, wow, this is a real legit candidate for Heisman and can really lead Ohio State far. Do you think the distractions with Urban Meyer are going to continue, or when he comes back, is this in the rearview mirror and they just pick up and go?
I don't think it impacts the players whatsoever. Now, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal to the players because they're sort of removed from this. So it will be a distraction, but I think Ohio State's going to win every game they play this year because there's nobody in the Big Ten, with a possible exception of Penn State, because they've got a great quarterback in Trace McSorley. I've had Ohio State in my Final Four since July when I first started talking about this stuff. They are a very, very good team.
And do you think Ohio State, you know, they did a university-led investigation on Urban Meyer. Was the three-game suspension enough? Did they handle it, in your eyes, the right way?
Not in my opinion. It should have been more. It should have been more. The financial repercussions should have been greater. And, you know, Urban had his press conference today with the media and then did two sessions with Tom Rinaldi. And I'm still not sure Urban gets it. But, you know, that we could sit and talk about Urban all night. Mm-hmm. But no, in my opinion, the penalty was not nearly severe enough.
Well, let's shift gears over to Oklahoma, where they looked pretty impressive this week. Kyler Murray is lighting up for that offense. They didn't have Rodney Anderson out with injury, but they didn't seem to miss a beat. Trey Sermon ran well. What's your take on Oklahoma? How good are they?
I like Oklahoma a lot. And a lot of listen, I was at the Rose Bowl. I saw Baker Mayfield play in person. He was really good. I mean, really good. And I thought Kyler Murray was a great athlete. He obviously is. He's going to play pro baseball. But I thought managing the quarterback position would be his downfall. I was absolutely wrong. He has been spectacular in the first few games. You got to pick them to win the Big 12. You know, I like what West Virginia is doing with Will Grier in that passing game. But right now, I really like what I see from Oklahoma.
So the Big 12, UT's win over USC. Is now USC, UT just ready to go? Is this a statement win for them?
They're back.
Are they?
Yeah.
Tony, you got to give us a skinny on this one.
Guys, I would not read too much into it because USC's got their own set of issues they're dealing with right now. Texas is certainly a better team than they showed against Maryland and early in the season. But from an athlete standpoint, from a depth standpoint, I don't think they're there yet. They're going to get there under Tom Herman. I don't have any doubt about that. But I still don't think they're not ready to challenge the Oklahomas of the world right now.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And do you think with USC, does Clay Helton survive this year?
It's going to be tough. There's a lot of upset people. And I think for the most part, Clay Helton's done a pretty good job. But the good news is for USC is UCLA is demonstrably worse than they are. So I guess that helps them a little bit. You know, Washington and Stanford and the Northern Division are really the class of that league. So that's whoever wins that division, that's who they'll end up playing. But there's a lot of upset USC people right now. There's no question about that.
We're talking to Tony Barnhart of the SEC Network. Okay, we keep talking about these teams with dual quarterbacks or two quarterbacks. Let's go to Georgia for a minute. They've got two pretty good quarterbacks. Is Fromm going to be the starter through the duration of the season?
As long as Jake Fromm is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback at Georgia. I feel very confident in saying that. Jake Fromm is an incredible quarterback. I mean, think about this. For him to come on last year as a true freshman unexpectedly in the first game and lead him within one play of the national championship, and he has been outstanding early in the season. Now, they don't ask him to throw it 25 times a game. Okay, he may throw it 15 because Georgia's running game is so good. he hasn't had to throw it a lot. But down the road, you know, all of a sudden Georgia's trip to LSU on October 13th looks a lot different now than it did a week ago. So Jake Fromm is going to have to make some throws at some point if Georgia's going to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be exciting. They were great last year. Okay, I want to switch you over to the Big Ten for a minute, Tony. So Scott Frost made the big jump from his, you know, quote, his national champions last year at UCF to now Nebraska with an 0-2 start for the first time since 1957. Is this just such a shift from a group of six conference to a power five? What's going on in Nebraska?
There are always two things when you see a coaching transition like this. There are two things going on. One is personnel. You simply do not have the players you need to compete at the highest level. That's number one. Number two is the transition as coaches, as players learn there's a new sheriff in town and that things are going to be done a different way. And some guys don't handle it well. But to me, there is no doubt in my mind that Scott Frost is going to get Nebraska back to where they want to be. But I've seen a lot of coaching transitions. Some of them go really well, and some of them don't go well at all. And obviously things are not going well at Nebraska. But they've got the right guy. I had a chance to sit down with Nebraska's athletic director this summer. He and I were serving on a committee together, and they feel great about where they are.
That's Tony Barnhart, writer and broadcaster for the SEC Network. Tony, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
All right. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Appreciate it.